You're listening to the Option Alpha podcast from OptionAlpha.com, where we show you how to make smarter trades, learn how the stock market really works, and generate consistent monthly income. Now, your host and head trader at OptionAlpha.com, Kirk Duplessis.
Hey everyone, this is Kirk here again at OptionAlpha.com, working every single week to make this the most popular investing podcast offered online and in iTunes, because it's based on one thing and one thing only, and that's helping you make smarter trades. So again, thanks so much for tuning in today. And we've got a cool episode because I get this question a lot, and it's something I want to talk about on the podcast. I didn't want to write a blog post about this, but this question about how you can buy stocks just for the dividends. And I get this question, I mean, seriously, I probably get this question 2 to 3 times a week from people on the website. And that's like a lot for a simple question like this. And so we're going to go through it here in the entire show and make sure that you guys understand exactly what the drawbacks are, what the benefits are, maybe how you can do it, and maybe an alternative strategy if you can't buy the stock for the dividend. So before we get into that, though, I definitely want to talk about our quick freebie that we have for today's show, which is our ultimate strategy guide. We talked about this in a couple other shows, but a new way of getting this, if you don't want to go to the website, which is just optionalpha.com/ebook, is you can actually text in the word strategies. So again, that's just one word, strategies, STRATEGIES, to the short code 44222. And when you do that, you'll just have to put in your email address when you hit the reply back from me, and then it'll automatically send you a copy of our ultimate strategy guide, which is expanded out to 90 pages. So we still haven't had everybody who originally downloaded the first copy download the next copy and then kind of the revised edition, but it's definitely something worth getting. And again, it's totally free, goes through every strategy step-by-step with the best setups. So again, you can get that by texting the word strategies to 44222, or just simply head on over to the website at optionalpha.com/ebook. All right, so the question is, can you buy stock just for the dividend? And before we get into that, I want to talk about the four major dates in the process of a company paying a dividend, because really, understanding if you can or if you can't, and when you should do it or when you shouldn't, really gets down to these four major dates that a company has. The first major date is the declaration date. Now, this is the date on which the board of directors for the company announced to shareholders and the market, they usually do a press release on this, that the company will pay a dividend, and they usually tell you how much the dividend is. And it's this declaration date with all the information that's in it that tells you when all the subsequent dates are going to follow. So first, we have to know when the company is going to announce the actual dividend. And usually, if you're following a stock or following a lot of stocks, these come out in the form of press releases. The next date is your ex-dividend date, or some people call it the X date, but this is the date that the security trades without the dividend. And it usually happens either on this date or after this date. You just might have to check with some companies. They might be a little bit different. Usually it happens that on the ex-dividend date is the date that the security basically trades without the influence of that dividend that's going to be paid. So if you buy a dividend paying stock one day before the ex-dividend date, then you get the dividend. But if you buy on the ex-dividend date, in most cases, then you don't get the dividend. Okay, so I'll say that again. If you buy a dividend paying stock one day before the ex-dividend date, then you will get the dividend. If you buy on the ex-dividend date, I know it's a little confusing, then you don't get the dividend, okay? Controversially, if you wanted to sell a stock and still receive the dividend that had been declared, so you're thinking to yourself, okay, I want to sell this stock out, but I know there's a dividend that's going to be paid, I want to collect that dividend first for whatever reason, then you need to sell on or after the ex-dividend date, okay? And make sure you do it on or after the ex-dividend date so you can get that. If you sell before, then you're going to sell before you actually get to collect that dividend payment. Now, the third date that you need to be aware of is the date of record. Now, this is the date on which the company looks at its records to see who the shareholders are that are going to be allowed to get the dividend payout. Now, an investor must be listed as a holder of record to ensure the dividend payout. Now, this is different because in today's market, usually stocks are settled on what's called a T+3 process, which means that when you actually buy a stock, it takes 3 days from the date of the actual transaction, which they call like T now, for the company to actually enter into its record books that you're a shareholder in that company's stock. So for example, if you buy stock today on Monday or whatever the case is, that company is not going to actually have you as a shareholder of record until possibly Wednesday. So this T, which is transaction plus 3 process. Okay. So the date of record is the date that actually gets paid out. So that means that as long as you're an owner on the date of record, then you are going to be able to get the dividend payment. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to hold it for those 3 days. It just means you have to realize that that recordation date happens 3 days after basically the ex-dividend date. That's what they're going to look at. So they're going to look at that ex-dividend date. If you bought at that ex-dividend date, they're going to wait 3 days just to make sure that you're up in the system and in their records, and then they'll pay out the dividend. So that actually gets us into date number 4, which is the date of payment, or the payable date, as some people call it. Now, this, of course, is the date that the company mails out the dividends or disperses them electronically, however you have it set up. Now, this is generally a week or maybe sometimes more. I've seen some companies do 2 weeks out after the date of record. And really, they just want to give themselves enough time to make sure that they're actually paying and accurately paying out to all of the appropriate shareholders on that date of record. Okay, so what happens is that the ex-dividend date, maybe let's say is Monday. If people, you know, whoever is the holder of that stock on Monday, then they get processed on the date of record on, say, Wednesday, and maybe they pay out by the latest on the earliest, maybe like Friday or something like that. So the whole process can be condensed. In most cases, maybe it's just a little bit longer than that. They just want to always make sure that they have the right information. Okay. Now, what most people try to do is they try to, and like the whole strategy behind this, I get all the time, and it's some variation of this, but usually always works the same, is that they try to purchase the stock before the ex-dividend date because they want to collect whatever that dividend is and then sell the stock immediately. Right? So buying the stock before the ex-dividend date, maybe collecting, let's say there's a dollar cash dividend that's going to be paid. They want to collect that, you know, cash payment, and then they want to sell the stock. And they think that they're going to get some arbitrary, you know, profit from doing this. So let's say a company is trading at like $20 and they're going to pay a dollar dividend. Well, this could be an easy, you know, 5% return because you're just going to buy the stock, they're going to pay the dividend, then you sell the stock immediately. But what actually happens, this is what most people don't know about this, or what they find out once they actually start doing it, is that the company's stock price is going to decrease by the amount of the dividend on the ex-dividend date. And what this does is that it eliminates the arbitrage opportunity or the free profit opportunity that people think that they're going to get by just purchasing the stock for the dividend. So I'll say it again. On the ex-dividend date, which is the date that really is the most important date that you have to remember, on that ex-dividend date, the company's stock price goes down by the amount of the dividend. It kind of like starts the day lower by that amount. So for example, using our $20 stock example, I just pulled it out of thin air. If a stock's trading at $20 and it's going to pay a $1 dividend, that means that the next day, the stock is going to open, or should theoretically open, around $19 to affect or capture that difference in dollar premium that was paid. So if you bought the stock the day before ex-dividend, which is when you have to buy it if you want to collect the payment, you bought the stock for $20, you collected the dollar premium or the dollar dividend that is paid out on the ex-dividend date, and then the stock opens at 19, you sell the stock immediately, you really have no arbitrage opportunity, okay? So buying the stock before the dividend is paid and selling it after receives no value. Okay, because of this differential in the price of the dividend and the opening date on ex-dividend. Okay, so it's really important they understand that concept, because a lot of people try to do it, and they try to do it with like hundreds of thousands of shares, and then they end up really going nowhere. Okay, and let's not even talk about the other market risk that you have, that maybe the stock opens lower but then continues lower, or whatever the case is. Okay, so here's an alternate strategy before we get into the impact on options, because really, I mean, there's a podcast about options, so you want to know the impact on options, right? But here's an alternative strategy. So realize that if you do take in that dividend payment, it actually creates a tax liability for you. Remember, you got to pay, you know, the tax, the dividend income is taxable income the following year. So the way that that's categorized, if you actually really want that dividend payment, just keep in mind, you're going to pay tax on that. So what I always tell people to do is actually wait to purchase the stock until after the dividend is paid, because then you're just going to get in at a lower cost basis in purchasing the stock. So again, it's going to account for the fact that a dividend is paid, but just wait to purchase the stock the day after ex-dividend date, after the drop's already happened, and you'll get into a lower cost basis. If you truly want to hold this stock long-term, just wait that one little day and get into it at a lower cost basis and then hold it for a longer period of time. Again, not that saying that, like, I don't really care about owning stock long-term. We talked about this in the last show and in show 60 as well. I don't really care about owning stock long-term anymore. I like trading options. But if that's what you wanted to do, just wait till that after the day. Don't try to take advantage of this, you know, what seems to be an arbitrage opportunity, because it's not. Plus, you get the double whammy of the tax liability from the dividend. All right, so now let's talk about the impact that this has on options. Because now what some of you are thinking, and I know it because I get the emails that I get back from people after I tell them what this strategy ends up doing, as I get the emails back from people say, okay, Kirk, well, if I know that the stock is going to drop by a dollar, then what I'll do is I'll buy put options and I'll try to take advantage of the drop in the stock by a dollar, right? So this idea that, okay, if I know the stock's going to drop by a dollar, whatever the dividend payment is, let me buy a bunch of put options before the ex-dividend date. And I'll make this, again, arbitrage opportunity where the stock drops and I make some money on these put options. And then I sell the put options and I go on my merry way. What we have to realize is that heading into this, the market knows that the dividend is going to be paid. So all, you know, legitimate option participants and market participants basically get the options to where they price in the effect of this ex-dividend happening. So what happens are is that what happens is that call options become less expensive leading up to the ex-dividend date because the expected fall is going to happen of the amount of the dividend. Okay. So your call options that are out of the money are generally going to be a little bit less expensive because they know that they're already pricing in this fall in the actual underlying stock by the amount of the dividend. And at the same time, as we get closer and closer to the ex-dividend date, the price of the put options increase again to basically price in the expected fall by the amount of the premium. So on both sides of the market is effectively and efficiently pricing in this future expectation of this drop. Again, once it's announced, this stuff happens real quick. Like, it's almost on the announcement day or the date of the declaration date that happens, then the market participants basically price in those adjustments for whatever contract month is going to be affected by the dividend payout date or the ex-dividend date. So that's going to happen immediately. So the end result here is that there's no arbitrage opportunity that can be derived from doing this in the simplest terms. So hopefully this was a really good explanation of, you know, like what you can and can't do and kind of like all the drawbacks and if nothing else, just a really good understanding of the major dates in the dividend process and how that kind of affects the stock and options, because it's important to understand that as you start trading more. And if you have things that are in the money or, you know, very close to being out the money as far as contracts go, this one thing hopefully will help you understand what the impact is on that ex-dividend date.
Now, our favorite part of the show, Trader Q&A, where we answer a question from one of our current members about options trading. Got a question you'd like Kirk to answer? Live on air? Just head over to optionalpha.com/ask and hit the record button to leave a message. That's optionalpha.com/ask.
Hey, Luker. My name is Daniel. I come from Indonesia. I've been trading options about a year ago. And my question is, what is the difference between stock or ETF option, index option, and future option? What we as option trader need to know about expiration, exercise, or assignment will work in each step of this contract. And my question number two is, mostly option alpha strategies that we learn and apply on stock or ETF also applicable on index or futures? Thank you, Kurt.
All right. So Daniel, thank you so much for the question. And again, it's awesome to hear from a lot of people. And I'm really liking doing this new trader Q&A segment because we hear from people like Daniel, who's from Indonesia, which is crazy. So the question really was basically like, what are the differences that you should be aware of in stocks, ETFs, indexes, and futures? And the main difference, or a couple differences, are one, you should be aware of how they are handled or what style of option they are. So whether they are American style or whether they are European style. And the major difference there is that if they're American style options, which is really the vast majority of like options we'll be trading here in the US, are American style, which means that they can be exercised kind of at any point up until expiration. So if an option buyer buys a call option, they can then go back the next day and exercise and take deliverability of that, those underlying shares. And although that doesn't happen all the time, like really quickly in the expiration cycle, most of exercise and assignment happens the last week. just understand that with American style options, that exercise and assignment can happen early in the cycle as opposed to just the last day. And so a lot of stocks and ETFs are done this way, and some futures contracts as well are done this way, that they can be this early American style expiration. Now, some things, like a lot of index ETFs, which are like SPX, RUT, are what's considered European style, which means that actual expiration and exercise happen on the last trading day. And so that actually, those contracts don't convert over into the underlying cash value until the last day. So just understanding that simple difference between American and European style options, I think, is really important. As far as expiration dates go, it's wildly different. I mean, there's so many different expiration dates. There's not only weekly options now, there's monthly and quarterly and yearly options. So there's so many different expiration dates. I would just say just double check on the expiration dates of whatever contract that you're trading, and also the settlement process. The settlement process can be a little bit different for different securities. Most of the time, stock and ETFs are settled to the actual shares, the underlying shares of either the company or the ETF. Things like the SPX and RUT, the settlement actually occurs in cash form, because you can't really buy the SPX, you can't really buy the RUT, the actual settlement happens in cash form. And then some futures contracts, especially futures like the ES minis options and some of the commodities options, actually settle to physical underlying products and security. So commodity might settle to, you know, like a commodities future contract or a barrel of oil or whatever the case is, like it'll settle to whatever the underlying asset is in that case. So I think you just have to be really careful as to making sure that you understand the different products that are out there. And there's probably too many that we can go through here in this example, but hopefully we kind of hit on some of the major ones. The last question that you had was on if the option strategies that we use here at Option Alpha are also applicable to indexes and futures. And the short answer to that is yes. The general concept should be applicable to those. We've backtested, as part of the backtesting software that we're going to be releasing here in the next couple of weeks, 21 million different strategies, of which we include a lot of different indexes, not only the major indexes, but also like commodity indexes and gold and silver and bonds. And I mean, you name it, we include a lot of different things in there. So it is applicable to a lot of these major indexes, and therefore the futures contracts on them. Just be aware that usually in the futures contracts, pricing of those options are going to be different. Like, so for example, the ES mini contracts, they're 150 contracts, which means that the face value that you see, the actual notional value underneath, is 50% of that face value. And so not that it makes a difference as far as like whether you should do it or not, you just have to be aware of those little kind of like particular descriptions in those. So I think that's the only real difference that we could see. But generally, the same thought process, same strategy is applicable. We talked about in show number 60 here on the podcast that Warren Buffett does the option selling strategy on major indexes, you know, all around the world. So the Nikkei and the Euro, I mean, like everything. So it's the same type of philosophy, just spread across different markets. So hopefully that helps answer your question. So remember, if you'd like to get your question answered here on the podcast or live on Facebook and Periscope in the future, head on over to optionalpha.com/ask. Click the big red record button in the middle of the screen and leave a private voicemail for me. There's no software to download or install. It's incredibly easy. Now, before we get into the closing bell segment, again, I want to just remind you about our special freebie today, which is our ultimate strategy guide. Again, you can get it completely free by going to optionalpha.com/ebook or by texting the word strategies, all one word, strategies, to the short code 44222 from your mobile phone.
Now, the closing bell. Find out which stocks we're looking at right now, trades we're making, and hear our game plan moving forward.
All right, so in today's closing bell segment, I want to talk about a new put calendar spread that we just entered in XLU. Now, XLU is a utilities ETF. It's probably the bigger utilities ETF that's out there from Spiders. Again, ticker symbol XLU. And the reason that we entered this put calendar is because, again, there's so much low volatility. We talked about last week in SPY Iron Condor that we did, but we also still want to diversify our strategies a little bit. And calendars are a great way to get some kind of neutral exposure around where the market is, and also some long volatility exposure. So this idea that if the market does have a big run up in volatility, so if we see a huge volatility spike in the market, then these calendars are going to balloon in value. Okay. And so what we're doing here with the case of XLU is that we're entering this particular calendar basically at the money here with where the stock is trading. So at the time that we're doing this video, XLU is trading just over $50. And what we're going to do here with XLU is enter the September-October 50 call calendar spread. Sorry, I mentioned put calendar spread early, but we're going to mention enter the call calendar spread actually in XLU. So right at the money, the call calendar spread, we're going to enter the September-October 50 call calendar spread. And what we're trying to do is hopefully see either a slight rise in the stock price and kind of, you know, staying in this range bound that's about $2 on either end, or B, a rise in volatility, which is going to be really, really helpful for this position. Now, again, with a calendar spread, we are selling the front month options, which are September, and then buying the back month options, which are October. So again, at the time that we're doing this video, we're selling the front month options, which are September, buying the back month options, which are October. And that spread differential means that the net debit that we pay to get into this trade is just $33 per calendar spread. So we're going to do three of these. We're going to get into these. And obviously this alert already went out to our members, so they already have it. They're into it. And again, we're just looking for XLU to pretty much stay range bound here around $50 between now and September expiration. Even though we traded options on the back half of this or the back month on these calendars out to October, really we consider the front month to be the month that we actually are trading from. So that September expiration is really what we're looking for. And again, if we see volatility rise from where it is right now, and right now it's in the low teens, like 18, 19 IV rank. If we see volatility rise, even if the stock moves outside of our range right now, that rise in implied volatility just balloons out the break-even points on these calendars. So the best possible scenario is the stock, you know, stays right here, or maybe even goes down just a little bit, but that we see volatility rise as we get closer to September expiration. So a nice little trade here, definitely a trade you can do in low volatility. You can do this trade in any account, IRA accounts, margin accounts, doesn't really matter, but a good little trade that we can make here during this low volatility time.
Thanks for listening to the Option Alpha podcast. If you liked what you heard, please drop by iTunes and leave a rating or comment. Plus, you can get everything, free email updates for future shows, transcripts, video tutorials, case studies, and more. Just visit our website at optionalpha.com.
All right, so I truly hope you enjoyed today's show and got at least one thing out of it that you can apply right now to make you a more profitable and smarter trader and investor. As always, you can get additional resources, some of the links that we mentioned in the show, and related video training from today's show by going to optionalpha.com/show62. Again, that's just the number 62, optionalpha.com/show62. Until next time, happy trading.